Welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip, and I am so glad you are joining us today. If this is your first time joining us, we are so glad you are here. On this podcast, we talk about the challenges we face in life and how God sees us through. We want you to know that you are never alone in your struggle and that you can do all things through Christ. Hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And if you're a regular listener and you haven't had a chance to leave us a review on iTunes, would you be so kind as to take a minute and leave us a review or share your favorite episode? These things help other people find the By His Grace podcast, and you never know what people are struggling with and how one of these episodes may be just the thing that they need to encourage them in their walk of faith. Well, today I have an exciting announcement for you. This podcast is being sponsored by the Spark Christian Podcast Conference. Did you know that Christianity category is the largest and fastest growing category on Apple Podcasts? But the mainstream podcasting conferences have little to no sessions related to or led by faith-based podcasters. Many Christian authors and bloggers are looking to expand their reach through podcasting, but many of them are held back because they don't know where to start. I know that I was afraid of the technology behind podcasting and really procrastinated for a long time before I had the courage to step out and do it. Well, if you are interested in starting a podcast, or you already have a podcast and want to take your podcast to the next level, I would like to invite you to join us for the Spark Christian Podcast Conference for podcasters and influencers in Houston, Texas, February 2020. We've launched a Kickstarter campaign, and you can find multiple ways there to support and encourage us. And please visit our website at sparkchristianpodcast.com. Welcome to another episode of By His Grace Podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip, and today I am so excited to have my new friend, Tina Yeager, with us. Tina and I met at the Blue Ridge Mountain Christian Writers Conference. That's always a mouthful to say. We instantly hit it off, and we have a similar passion in the books that we're writing at this point in time in our lives. And so I couldn't wait to help have Tina on the show. So Tina, welcome so much.
Thank you for having me, Misty. It's so wonderful to be here with a like-minded woman of God who is an encourager of women and those who struggle.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Would you tell my audience a little bit about yourself?
I have a long background that, again, how long do you have? But I myself went through a great deal of self-esteem struggles. I even had an eating disorder for 8 years that I struggled with. And then as time went on through healing, through very hard won healing, I eventually became a licensed mental health counselor. And I saw so many women that came into my office over and over again, struggling with self-esteem, struggling with low sense of self-worth, struggling with a sense of purpose or meaning in their life, and feeling like they just could never be used by God, that I felt compelled to try to reach more women than I could see in person. And that is why I decided to write this very difficult personal and clinical book.
Okay, so tell us the name of the book.
It's called Beautiful Warrior, Finding Victory Over the Lies Formed Against You.
I love that. Beautiful Warrior. What a beautiful picture. You know, I agree with you completely. I think that we all battle with insecurity at some level. We all feel like we're not enough or we're not worthy because we are sinful and we aren't enough, but Jesus is enough. But my concern is not just for women, but also for younger girls who are growing up in today's culture, because I feel like there is such a battle against them. With the internet now and social media, you know, they have additional struggles that we never had to deal with.
And so I'd love to know some of the strategies that you employ and that helped you so that we could help women, but we could also maybe help some young girls because I feel like they really need that as well. So what are some of the strategies that you used to help you overcome your insecurities?
Well, some of the things that helped me overcome, again, was just that step-by-step walking with the Lord in reclaiming my identity in Him instead of in the wrong things. We can continually seek our fulfillment and our esteem and our acceptance from other people, from our performance and our appearance, in our social status and all kinds of things that we now see in social media presented as must-haves that are not must-haves. They are not necessary to having a sense of identity or a sense of worth in our lives. They don't even really give us any sense of worth or meaning because they're like salt water. We're going back again and again to drink approval, and it's never filling that void. We just get thirstier for it every time we drink it.
Absolutely. You know, I've heard it said that we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And until we fill that hole with God, we will look for all kinds of ways to fill that hole, but nothing will satisfy until we fill our hearts with the Lord. You talk about in your book, you talk about feeling unlovable and, you know, battling some insecurities as a child. And so did you overcome that as a child, or was that a process that you worked through to overcome as an adult?
That was a process I had to work through as an adult. As a child, I just consistently felt as though I couldn't relate to others. I loved them. I thought they were beautiful. I felt like I was the pauper standing outside of Tiffany's looking in, wishing I could belong inside. I never felt as though I could be accepted among other people. And that was where the eating disorder sort of came in. I wanted so badly to fit in. I thought maybe if I was thin enough, people would just have me around. Maybe they would tolerate my presence just a little if I looked like I fit in, even though I never really believed other people would accept me as a person for who I was, or value my personality or anything that was potentially of any value to them in others from the inside of who they are, which is where a real value is. I thought maybe I could fake it on the outside enough to just belong for a little while.
Did you grow up in a Christian home, or was there a disconnect between your faith and your thought life?
I did grow up in a Christian home. I had absolutely wonderful parents. It was the peer group that I was in. I just didn't feel like I could connect with other students. So you can have a really wonderful set of parents and still struggle emotionally with your sense of value and self-worth. The faith issue was a disconnect in me. I believed God loved me because He had to. I believe my parents loved me because they had to, but I felt like I was inherently unlovable. And that was missing the entire point of scripture, even though it was right in front of me.
Yeah. Did you ever talk to your parents about this? Or is this just something that you kept to yourself?
That was definitely something I kept to myself. And when we struggle in silence and we don't share it with other people, that stronghold becomes all the more powerful. Every time we suffer from something in secret, it has power over us.
Absolutely. I agree completely. I know my brother died when I was 12, and I couldn't grieve. My mom was an absolute mess, my sister. And so I felt like I had to be the strong one. And as I did that and I kept my feelings in, I know it was a point in my life where the enemy just used that against me and wreaked havoc in my life. And I think that that is a huge problem, that as we face issues like feeling unlovable, nobody wants to say, I don't feel lovable. Because if one of my kids or if one of your kids came to you and said, I feel ugly, or I feel this, or I feel, you know, we would encourage them and fill them up. But because we don't talk about those things, we wear a mask and we pretend like everything's okay, but it's not. And I think you touch on that a little bit in the book, don't you?
If we don't share what's going on inside of us, not only can we not get help, we can't become the person who's helping others. So it's so important for us to be authentic with one another so that we can reach out. I struggled a long time with even revealing that I had an eating disorder issue, I didn't want anybody to think badly of my parents. They were, in fact, really good parents. I was just incredibly clever at hiding my eating disorder. And those with addictions or compulsive disorders are really adept at hiding their struggle. It does not mean that their parents are bad parents or that they missed something or they could have done something better. It's absolutely not a shame or a slam on the parent.
Right. I'm thinking more of how can we get young people to voice what they're feeling so that they can get the help that they need.
Your struggle not only matters to you, but it matters to somebody else. Sometimes we won't do something to save ourselves unless we realize that saving ourselves means saving somebody else. There's someone else out there that God has created for you to help. If you don't get help, if you don't get through this, you won't become the vehicle you were intended to be, and that person will continue to suffer. So think about that other person, those other people. It's going to be more than one person, in fact. If you remember the beautiful movie, it's my favorite movie for Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, the angel saved George by jumping in the river. And he said to George Bailey, I jumped in the river to save you, because I knew if you thought I was drowning, you would save me.
That's so good. I love that. Well, tell me some of the other themes. I know that you talk about comparison in the book. These are all things that the enemy tries to use to rob us of our joy in Christ. But what are some of the other themes that you talk about in the book as well?
As women, I think even as Americans in general, not just women, we have a tendency to compare ourselves and to compete with one another, and think that we can only succeed by putting other people down or matching up or measuring up or getting past other people, when in fact, collaboration is our true power. If we learn how to link arms with our sister warriors, that's where we get stronger. When we learn to lift one another up, encourage one another, and receive encouragement, and begin to share that strength with one another, that's when we truly become powerful and we're able to do more together than we would do individually. We're missing that. The enemy is dividing and conquering.
Oh, I agree completely. But I love that because I have a mastermind group of Christian authors, bloggers, speakers, and even podcasters and people that sell things through social media, because I want a wide variety of Christian women. And I invite them every month to come into my home and sit around my farm table and speak life into each other's lives, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. We teach one another because it's like that saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. We truly are better together. And something really good I heard a couple of years ago before I was going to She Speaks, I believe it was Lauren Gaskell, and she was talking about Michael Phelps in the Olympics, because we had just come out of the Olympics. And when he is swimming, he doesn't look, you know, I mean, he looks to the left to breathe, right? But he's not looking at what the people in the lane to the left of him are doing or to the people to the lane in the right. He has got his eyes on the prize. Any swimmer is just, they are swimming fast and hard. And I think that's what Hebrews tells us to do, is to run our race with perseverance and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not looking to our right or to our left or comparing ourselves. And that's another way that we can look at what somebody else is doing and think, well, maybe I don't measure up, or there's other things that go along with
Jesus
that as well.
Had to set that straight right at the beginning when he was redeeming Peter right after his resurrection. It was going sideways with Peter. You know, he's walking with Peter, restoring Peter back into his place as a leader in the church. And Peter's like looking at John going, well, what about him? What if he's going to live forever? What if, like, and Jesus is like, forget about him. I'm talking to you right now. You stay in your own lane. And that's the, you know, Tina version.
But, yeah.
You know, kind of making that more colloquial and discussing that in terms of what we think about today. It's so easy to get distracted. And that's one of the great markers of a lie. It will be about distracting us to look at something over here that has nothing to do with what we're really supposed to be paying attention to, that he is doing to subvert us under here, under the table, behind the scenes. He's trying to get us to be distracted from God's purpose by looking at what other people are doing on either side of us.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What are some ways that we can do that very thing? How can we, what tools can we use to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus? And I know you, in your study, you have some empowerment questions, and I know you use those as a tool to help people. So what are some other ways that we can defeat the lies of the enemy and focus on what God has for us?
I think we need a daily mental makeover going on in our lives, both in the beginning of the day and the end of the day, that are real thorough daily mental makeovers. And then throughout the day, we need to constantly be tossing our thought processes back and forth between us and the Holy Spirit to get Him to check our attitudes and check our mindsets. There's a reason why there are ropes on those lanes in the YMCA.
Right.
It's really easy to get off track fast. So making sure that we have the Holy Spirit go through our thoughts and say, what in here is not of you? And there's going to be times when we're just like way off and we're mad and we're upset about something. And we know it. We feel it. We feel this distress in the core of ourselves that's fighting against the nature of Christ within us. And we have to say, Lord, you know, just go through and cleanse this. Find out what it is in me that's not aligned with your character and nature, and help me fix it. Help me readjust so that I am lined up with your nature. And one of the things that we can do is go through 1 Corinthians 13, which we know is the love chapter. We use it in marriages, but I don't think it was ever really intended to be for marriage. It's really about our relationships to God and to others, but also we can use it to relate well to ourselves. We could go through, are we being patient with others? Are we being patient with ourselves? Are we being patient in our relationship with God, the Father? Love is patient. Love is kind. Am I being kind in my attitude toward other people, toward myself? Sometimes we're hardest on ourselves, and out of that, we're also being hard on others. So going through all those pieces of that scripture and checking our mindset and making it line up with the love of Christ can help get us oriented the way we need to be better together, to be better for Christ, to be better just in our own space with ourselves.
I really, really love that, because I think it's easy for me to be nice to other people, to do unto others, but I am hardest on myself. I am the hardest on myself. And so, yeah, one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking was taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I have to remember that, because I know sometimes there are thoughts that will come into my mind and I'll start to entertain them, and then I'll just have to go, wait. Another test that I use is, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. But I love that, what you said about using the love chapter for that, because I can be kind and loving to others, but I can be really, really hard on myself. And so that's really good, because I think we do need to be kind to ourselves and loving to ourselves.
And out of how we treat ourselves is going to emerge and grow the way that we are effective for Christ.
Yeah, that's really good. What about you, Tina? Is there a particular scripture that has helped you? You know, do you have a, I always ask my guests, do you have a life verse? Is there one scripture that really helps you to be victorious?
There are a few that I go to for different situations. If I am feeling like I need protection, there are certain verses that I will go to for that, like the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, or Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. And it's also a very tender verse. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing. It just gives that picture of a father holding its infant and rocking that infant gently and holding it safe and secure. So I love that verse. If I'm thinking about words that I need for a message or to deliver to other people, I kind of reappropriate a certain verse that was meant for feeding, because I feel like we feed first on the word of God and then we're able to feed others. So there is a scripture that says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Mm-hmm. Or I have an interview at a conference to pitch to an editor. Before I speak a message on a stage, I will open my mouth, and it probably looks really weird if somebody sees me do it, but I'll open my mouth to the ceiling and ask God to fill it, because I have nothing to bring. I actually have nothing to bring. There is nothing that I have that God cannot, that God is not giving me first. So recognizing I am empty, but it is God who fills me. And for those who feel like they are empty, yes, you're right. Because I've had that conversation with God before. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. And he's like, oh, good. I'm glad you figured that out. Guess what? I am. So he's very good about coming to us with a conversational tone and a sense of humor and meeting us where we are and giving us the truth.
Yes, that's one of the things that you do in your book as well. You have this series of statements of I am and what we think we are, but what God says that we are. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I love that scripture gives us our identity. We can go to something in writing and find it. When we feel lost, we need that piece of paper written down where we have those special scriptures, like you said, maybe a life verse or maybe several life verses written down. And one of the best ones that I love is Psalm 139. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a very tender psalm, and there's a lot more than that verse in it. But it talks about how God created us in our mother's womb. Before we were ever born, God created us for a purpose. And it's important for us to know that our identity is not in what we do, because before we were born, we weren't doing anything. It's in what God says we are and what he's going to do with what we are. Like Gideon, when he met Gideon, the angel of the Lord, which some people say is a theophany verse where he met Gideon there, Jesus himself. And he said, "Hail, mighty warrior." Gideon in that moment was not a mighty warrior. He was never a mighty warrior before that moment. But God sees us not just how we are or what we've been or what's happened to us. He sees us according to what he can do in and through us in the future. Things we've never imagined or seen, he will do in our lives. So remembering that my identity is not based on me. It's based on something way bigger than me. And that kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
It absolutely takes the pressure off. I love that. So you've written more than one book, right? I think you've written a few. So what is this beautiful warrior? What number of book is this for you?
This is my first published nonfiction book. My agent is shopping a few other works right now.
Okay.
At publishers going through pub board. So we're waiting to see who will take them.
That's exciting. And so is Beautiful Warrior available now?
It is. It just became available. It's from New Hope Publishers, but it's also available at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon or at your favorite retailer. You can always request it.
Great. We'll drop a link in the show notes so that people can find that. And this has been a long project in the making for you. And I'm so excited to have a chance to go through it and to see all of, I love at the end of each chapter, you have those empowerment questions that are really some good tools for people to think about and apply some of the things that you teach in this book. So I'm excited for you and what God is going to do with this book for you. One last question that I always like to ask people is if you could sit down with somebody who is really just really feeling discouraged and feeling unlovable, just struggling with self-esteem. I found out this week that a friend daughter is cutting. And I have to think that at the basis of that is some self-esteem issues. So if you could sit down with this young girl, what would you tell her?
Jesus is with you in this moment of pain and struggling. He has been where you are when it comes to feeling shamed by other people. He has been through that, and he can empathize with you in that place of pain. So in that moment, you don't have to feel like you are alone, because he knows how that feels. Recognize, however, that the shame lies that are being thrown against you by other people that are going around in your head, that the enemy is trying to trap you in and keep you imprisoned inside of, those are not the truth. The truth is, if you were the only one that needed to be saved, you're not, but even if you were the only one, Jesus would have given his life. He would have suffered and died to bring you home and embrace you in the presence of a loving Father and hold you forever and rejoice with you, because you are that precious to him. You matter, and your healing matters. Your identity matters. You're seeking out that purpose, not that you have to do it alone, but that God is going to do with you and through you and for you and for other people through you. You have been chosen. That's why you were created. You're here for a reason. God doesn't take the time to create for nothing. He doesn't create junk. He is the ultimate divine artist, and you are his precious work of art. You matter to him with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and he wants you to know that. He wants you to embrace that and begin little by little to take steps toward living that out.
Amen, sister. When I teach my Bible study, one of the things I talk about that concept, and I ask people, have you ever been to an art museum? And they're like, yes. And I say, and how do they handle the art? They put white gloves on. It's very meticulous and careful. I said, they don't just throw the art on the floor and walk all over it and tear it up. And I said, that is a created piece, but so much more are we the creation, the handiwork of the master. And so how much more should we care for ourselves? And I think as women, sometimes we can spend our lives pouring out and caring for others as a wife and a mother and a friend. But I love what you talked about earlier about loving yourself, because I think understanding that we are a masterpiece and caring for ourselves, because we house the Holy Spirit. We house the temple of God. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. Where can my listeners find you?
At my website, https://TinaYeager, and that's YEAGER.com. There's no www, but just TinaYeager.com.
Great. We will stick that in the show notes as well. So thank you so much again for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing your heart for victory and defeating the lies of the enemy. And I know that this is going to bless many. So thank you so much, Tina.
Thank you, Misty. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.